Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Light of the world, we step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. The world, light of the world, you stand down into dark. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made. So we sing, here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say, you're my God, you're all together lovely, all together worthy, and all together. To sing today, I'm the one that you have shown me mercy. You have shown me mercy. You have shown me mercy. Sing, I'm the one.
I'm the one.
You have
shown me mercy.
You have shown me.
You have shown me mercy.
You have shown
me.
You look past
my sin, my guilt, my shame,
and poured in your love. You look beyond me. You look past my sin.
You look past my sin, my guilt, my shame,
and poured your love. And you look beyond me. Oh, I want to sing, I'm the one that you have shown me mercy. You have shown me mercy. Oh, Lord,
you have shown me mercy.
Sing, I'm the one that you have shown me.
I'm the one,
yeah.
You have shown me mercy.
So much mercy, Lord.
You have shown me mercy.
So much mercy, Lord. I wanna testify and say I'm the one
you have shown me
so much mercy. I'm so overwhelmed. I don't know why you did it, Lord, but I'm the one.
I'm the one.
Hey,
you have shown me mercy.
you have shown me mercy. You have shown me mercy. You have shown me mercy.
Lift your hands and testify today and tell him
I'm the one. You have shown me mercy.
You have shown me mercy. You have shown me mercy. We thank you, Father, that this morning we have another opportunity to say thank you from the depths of our hearts, for loving us so much that you gave your only begotten son to come die for us and pay the price for our sins. Where would we be today but for the sacrifice of Jesus, which paved the way for us to be reconciled to the Father? And this morning we want to say that we are grateful. We also want to apologize to you for not saying it enough and for not expressing our gratitude as often as we ought to. And this morning, as we hear your word, I pray that you will give us a deeper understanding of everything that you have done for us. Amen. And when we gain this understanding, may we love you more deeply and more intensely than we ever have before. Amen. I thank you, Father, this morning in Jesus' mighty name. And let everybody say amen.
Amen.
Say amen again.
Amen.
Give Jesus a big hand clap.
Oh, somebody ready.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated.
Amen.
And please turn your Bibles with me to Luke 23, reading from verse 1. And let me warn you that we are going to read a lot of verses, all right? Because that gives us a complete picture of the Good Friday story. The Bible says, then the entire council took Jesus to Pilate, the Roman governor. Verse 2, they began to state their case. This man has been leading our people astray by telling them not to pay their taxes to the Roman government and by claiming he is the Messiah, a king. So Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus replied, you have said it. Pilate turned to the leading priest and to the crowd and said, I find nothing wrong with this man. Then they became insistent, but he's causing riots by his teaching. Wherever he goes, all over Judea from Galilee to Jerusalem. Oh, is he a Galilean? Pilate asked them. When they said that he was, Pilate sent him to Herod Antipas, because Galilee was under Herod's jurisdiction and Herod happened to be in Jerusalem at the time. Verse 8. Herod was delighted at the opportunity to see Jesus because he had heard about him and had been hoping for a long time to see him perform a miracle. Look at this one too. He asked Jesus question after question, but Jesus refused to answer. Meanwhile, the leading priests and the teachers of religious law stood there shouting their accusations. Then Herod and his soldiers began mocking and ridiculing Jesus. Finally, they put a royal robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate, who had been enemies before, became friends from that day. Then Pilate called together the leading priests and other religious leaders along with the people. And he announced his verdict. You brought this man to me, accusing him of leading a revolt. I have examined him thoroughly on this point in your presence, and I find him innocent. Herod came to the same conclusion and sent him back to us. Nothing this man has done calls for the death penalty. So I will have him flogged or beaten, and then I will release him. 17. Then a mighty roar rose from the crowd. And with one voice they shouted, kill him and release Barabbas to us. Barabbas was in prison for taking part in an insurrection or a coup d'etat in Jerusalem against the government and for murder. Pilate argued with them because he wanted to release Jesus. But they kept shouting, crucify him, crucify him. And for the third time he demanded, why? What crime has he committed? I have found no reason to sentence him to death. So I will have him flogged and then I will release him. But the mob shouted louder and louder, demanding that Jesus be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate sentenced Jesus to die as they demanded. And as they had requested, he released Barabbas, the man in prison. And take note of this, he was in prison for insurrection and murder. But he turned Jesus over to them to do as they wished. And as they led Jesus away, a man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, happened to be coming in from the countryside. The soldiers seized him and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd trailed behind, including many grief-stricken women. God bless the women. And God bless the men too. But Jesus turned and said to them, daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are coming when they will say, fortunate indeed are the women who are childless, the wombs that have not borne a child, and the breasts that have never been nursed. People will beg the mountains, fall on us, and plead with the hills, bury us. For if these things are done when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others, both criminals, were led to be executed with him, as though all three were criminals. And when they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross. And the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. The crowd watched and the leaders scoffed. He saved others, they said. Let him save himself if he's really God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers mocked him. They mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself now. A sign was fastened to his cross above him with these words, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. So you are the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you are at it. It just said, oh, it's fantastic. But the other criminal protested. Don't you fear God? Even when you have been sentenced to die, you and I deserve to die for our crimes. But this man hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. Somebody say, what a great escape. Verse 44. We're almost at the end. By this time it was noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. I need my music, please. Then Jesus shouted, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. And with these words, he breathed his last. Bow down your heads and in your own way say thank you to Jesus for everything that he's done for you. Thank him right where you are. We give you thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for going through all of these agonizing experiences so that I can be saved. I don't know why you did it. You did not have to do it. You were under no compulsion to do it. But you loved a wretch like me and decided that you were going to go through such pain, such agony, such shame, such rejection. And this morning, together we say thank you for what you have done for us. We bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If I were to ask you to tell me what happened on Good Friday, I am sure that you will refer to one of the events that were mentioned in this passage of scripture. Is that not so? Because those events are what were seen. They were the actual things that happened physically for people to see. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, beyond these things that happened physically on that day, the day we call Good Friday, there were also other things that happened that the eye, the physical eye, could not see. And if you ask me to summarize what happened to Jesus and what he went through and everything he experienced, I would say that everything that Jesus went through and everything that he experienced was so that justice could be satisfied and grace could be released. Hallelujah. So that justice could be satisfied and grace released. Say with me, Jesus died so that justice could be satisfied and grace could be released. Hallelujah. And on Sunday, last Sunday, which was Palm Sunday, Pastor Eddie, thank you so much. You have no idea how much it means to me to have you here. Thank you. On Palm Sunday, I shared with you on the subject, the demand of justice. And I'm going to continue along the same line. All right. But I think that to help all of us, I would do as quickly as I can a recap of what I shared with you. And I explained to you that when we say the demand of justice, what it means is that every person must receive what they deserve fully, fairly, and without flinching. That's what it means, the demand of justice, that everybody must receive what you deserve and what is due you. Have you heard this song before? If you do good, you do for yourself. If you do bad, you do for yourself. You know, so it's like saying that if you do good, then expect a reward for doing good. That is what justice demands. And if you do bad too, expect punishment for the bad that you have done, which is another demand of justice. And I explained this further and shared a few points with you. The first one is that God is just by nature. God is just by nature. If you read Deuteronomy 32 verse 3 to 4, Deuteronomy 32 verse 3 to 4, it says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. How glorious is our God. He is the rock. His deeds are perfect. Then the next thing it says is that everything he does, this is New Living Translation, please. Everything he does is just and fair. Everything he does is what? Just and fair. And it continues, he is a faithful God who does no wrong. Then the next thing it says is that how just and upright he is. Another scripture, Psalms 89 verse 14, it says, righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne, and failing love and truth walk before you as attendants. Amen. If you are to relate all of this to sin and to evil, what it means is that God cannot excuse sin because he is just. It also means that God cannot overlook evil. Why? Because he is just. Neither can God pretend that no wrongdoing has taken place, because he's just and it is his nature to be just. You can't change that about him. It is one of his attributes that he's a just God. And he's the righteous judge who must ensure that people receive what they deserve. If they deserve good, they must be given good. If they deserve evil, they must receive evil. And ladies and gentlemen, the moment God ignores sin, he ceases to be just. The second thing I shared with you is that all sin, evil, wrongdoing, and wickedness demand punishment. And what is this punishment? The punishment is death and separation from God. So in Romans chapter 6 verse 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice the first part again. The wages or the salary for sin is death. In Ezekiel 18 verse 4, New King James Version, Ezekiel 18 verse 4, it says, behold, all souls are mine, the soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. Then the other thing it says here is that the soul who sins shall die. Amen. I explained to you, my friends, that sin is not just a mistake. Sin is not just something you explain away and say, oh, but we are human, so that is why these things happen. Because sin is more serious than what we think. Sin is actually rebellion against God. And I explained to you that when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, it was actually rebellion against him. He told them, don't eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and evil. But they ate of it. And the consequences of this was that death, which was not part of the equation before, was introduced. And what they did meant that a certain evil and curse was going to be passed on to the entire human race. Because what they did on our behalf. And we were not yet born, but we were in their loins. So that nature of sin was transmitted to each and every living person without exception. And with it came the punishment for sin, which is death and separation from God. Notice that when God told them, you will surely die, they did not die immediately physically. They died eventually. But what happened instantly was another kind of death, which is more serious than physical death, which is separation from God. So the punishment for sin, for evil, for wickedness, and for all wrongdoing is death and separation from God. Then the third thing that I shared with you, I think I shared just three things. The third thing that I shared with you is that all of us are guilty. All, without exception. Look into the face of the person sitting by you. Tell the person, you are among, and you are also guilty. So Romans 3:23 from the New King James Version says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then in Romans 3 verse 10, New Living Translation, it says, as the scripture says, no one is righteous, not even one. No one. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to give me a sincere answer. Will you do that for me? You sure you will? How many of you think that you are not that bad? Can I see by show of hand? You see, I said that you should give me a very honest answer. You see, I'm asking you a question. Please help me by answering. I said, how many of you feel that you are not that bad? All right. Why do you feel that way? Say that again. Yeah. Akosua Akotobuaten says that she feels that she's not bad because there are others who are worse than she is, and she can see it. After all, if you grade the thing, it is bad. Yeah, there is bad, badder, baddest. It's not good English. Don't go and write it in any exam. They will fail you, yeah. It's bad, worse, worst. But I think bad, badder, baddest. You can feel it. Do you see? Yeah, so when you look at the thing in your head, you are saying, "Say obiaba enye." Okay. But when you look at some children and what they do, you can say that even if my own is not good, when I compare to Mr. Insien's daughter, hey, my own is an angel. But this is where we get it wrong. We get it wrong because before a just and holy God, even if you commit one small sin, like what? What sin is small in your eyes? Lying. Okay. Okay, or you steal fish from soup. How many have stolen fish from soup before? Including me. Mommy says it's the boys. Oh, Philip. Because I'm being told that Philip said yesterday he stole. It's not true. It's not true. No, no. We are talking about stealing, not taking. I have done some before. I'm remembering things, you see. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. In those days, we had orange squash in Kulenu. I I'll open the bottle. It's confession time. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You've done some before. I'm sure when you know who that I yes in them. It's one eye when you know that sorrow above for no. So I will open, take off the cup very carefully. Carefully, strategically. Then I will pour. But after I have poured what I want, I will add water. Because it has to come to the same level. So later on, when they come for the thing and they pour it and they add water, say, ah, what is wrong with this in Kulenu? It tastes like it is spoiled. On say, John Awanyo are diluting. Somebody say, mercy for our pastor. And then put your hand on your head and say, greater mercy for me. Let me show you the scripture in James. James chapter 2 verse 10. It says, New Living Translation, for the person who keeps all of the laws except one is as guilty as a person who has broken all of God's laws. Somebody say, I no like. Do you see? So, for those of us who feel that we are not so bad, understand that even if you fail in one small thing, you are guilty before a holy God. And notice that the scripture did not say that for the wages of big sins is death. That's not what it said. It says for the wages of sin, which means all, is death. And the conclusion of this is that all of us are guilty. That's how bad it is. Let's move on. Number four. The fourth thing that you must understand concerning the demand of justice is that God cannot clear the guilty. God, he cannot clear the guilty. He cannot say that the guilty is no longer guilty or the guilty is innocent. He cannot do that because we said from the very beginning, because he is just. Nahum chapter 1 verse 3. And this is where a digital Bible will help most of you. Because if you are holding a hard copy, bet Danny Page's in his hands, and Nahum here when he obi ya Nahum me free me Bible no more. Obi ya ye. Me a wahoni se wunim bebi e wo. Nahum chapter 1 verse 3. It says, the Lord is slow to get angry, but his power is great. And look at what he says. And he never lets the guilty go unpunished. He never does what? He never lets the guilty go unpunished. That means God cannot clear the guilty. He displays his power in the whirlwind and the storm. The billowing clouds are the dust beneath his feet. Look at Exodus 34 verse 5 to 7. God appeared to Moses. The Bible says, then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him. And he called out his own name, Yahweh. The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. How wonderful. I lavish unfailing love to a thousand generations. Beautiful. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin. Fantastic. But then the next thing he says, but I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and grandchildren. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations. Asemna, say you. It's not good. And ladies and gentlemen, may I tell you today that God really loves us, eh? He loves us deeply. He loves us intensely with unfailing love and faithfulness. But he cannot pretend that we are innocent. He cannot. Because if he does that, it goes against who he is. He can't. The Bible says righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. And if he acquits the guilty without answering the demand of justice, he will be acting against who he is. And it will lead to a total mess up of the entire universe. So you see, in the story we read from Luke 23, we saw that Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent. He knew it. He confirmed that even Herod knew that he was innocent. And he went ahead and told the people that I find nothing wrong with this man. He hasn't done anything. Which means that I must free him. But that is when the people shouted and said that you cannot free him. He deserves to die. He said, why? He hasn't done anything. Then he tried everything he could. He said, these people, I know how I'm going to get them. There's this guy in prison. He was arrested and he's been put in prison for staging an insurrection and for murder. Nobody wants to have a murderer in the society. So I'll trick these people and then do what I know is the right thing for me to do. He said, I'm going to bring Barabbas. And then I'm going to ask you which one of them to free. He brought him. He brought the guy from prison. Put him on one side, Jesus on one side, and said, listen, guys, we want to just cut it short. Of the two people, I must release one. Because during this time, this season, I am always called upon to release one person or the other. So, which of them should I release? And as Pilate said that, he was walking back to his chair, smiling to himself, saying, I have them. They will do what I want. He was shocked to the bone when he heard the people shouting, release Barabbas and kill Jesus. He stopped in his tracks. Couldn't believe it. Am I hearing right? But you see, this is the reason why Pilate cannot wash his hands. Because he knew that Jesus was innocent. But because he wanted to protect himself and his position, he gave out judgment that was corrupted. He was not just. And that is what injustice is. When what somebody is due, you don't give it to the person. And Jesus deserved to be released. But Pilate did not do the right thing. And ladies and gentlemen, God is just. And he cannot excuse our guilt. Hallelujah. You see, there's a reason why I'm sharing these things with you. I'm sharing these things with you because I think that the average Christian does not understand does not understand what the Lord has done for him or her. Does not understand what really took place on the cross more than 2,000 years ago. And because we don't understand, we play games with God and with our salvation. And we treat it lightly, and we don't serve God with the passion and the energy and the zeal that is needed, because we don't really understand what took place there. And what you don't understand, you don't handle well. If you have something and you don't know the value of it, you do not handle it well. And that's the issue with most Christians. There's a reason why you will give your yam phone to your 3-year-old son to play with it. And today's children, they are very sophisticated. That's on Penny Amino. Up her iPhone. What's the latest iPhone version? 17 Pro Max. Yeah. That's the one he wants to play with. But there is no parent, unless you have more money than you can spend, who will give his iPhone 17 Pro Max to his 3-year-old son to play with it. There's no parent who will do that. Why? Why the yam and not the iPhone Pro Max 17? Why? Because of the price and the value. And that is what plays out in Christianity over and over again. We don't value what God has done for us. So look at the way we even go about our Christian life. Casually, lightly, anyway, anyhow. Look at the way we even serve God. Casually, lightly, without any passion and strength. Compare the way you carry yourself at your workplace to the way you carry yourself in the house of God. Compare. And tell me, after you've done that comparison, which one do you greatly value? Because you get to work before 8 o'clock. You have to clock in. But then when it comes to church, you stroll in casually. And by the time you come, prayer over. Praise and worship over. Choir ministration almost over. And you want to tell me, you want to tell me that you understand what this whole Christian thing is about. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about certain basic rudimentary things that we must do effortlessly. Effortlessly. But we don't. Look at what we do when we have to give to support the kingdom of God and things to do with the house of God. We throw loose change to the Lord. But then when you are spending on yourself, when you are spending on your child, when you are spending on your business, there is no holding back. There's no holding back. I'm sharing this message with us, all of us, myself included, to help us to change our minds and our attitudes in connection to this salvation thing, to respect it highly, to put it at the right place, and to give the right premium to it. Because I can tell you that because we don't understand what Jesus went through for us, that is why we do what we do. That is why even the service that we are supposed to render to the Lord, there's no quality. There's no quality attached to it. There's no diligence. There's no commitment. I say it all the time. I see it all the time with the people of God. And it's because we don't really understand what God has done for us. And the point that I was making here is that God cannot clear the guilty. And this is the dilemma that God finds himself in. He loves us. But if he ignores sin, it means that he's not just. If he decides to go ahead and punish sin, all of us are doomed. Where do we pass? Where do we go? It's a dilemma. That's the difficult situation God had to deal with. I am just. And because I'm just, I cannot say that I'm going to excuse these people, even though I love them with an everlasting love. I can't excuse them. Because I am just, I must punish them. But if I decide to give them what they deserve, the demand of justice, none of them will ever make it. So how was God going to solve the problem? And ladies and gentlemen, the solution was the cross. That was the solution. The cross is God's answer. That's the next point. The cross is God's answer. So in Romans chapter 3, verse 24 to 26, the Bible says, yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. Notice that it says God in his what? Grace. Freely makes us right in his sight. But he didn't just make us right. He didn't just justify us, keke. He had to do something. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. And this sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. What this point means is that, you see, there are two categories of saints. There are Old Testament saints and New Testament saints. For New Testament saints, we can become saints because we came after Jesus died on the cross and paid the price. But God did not want to, and the only thing that could save us was the blood of Jesus. But those who were under the Old Testament, Moses, David, Abraham, the wages of sin was death. But God didn't want to have to punish them before Christ came. So he held back and he held on to the punishment that should come to them. So that when Jesus comes and he pays the price, it will take care of their sins also. So that the punishment that should have come to them then would no longer come to them. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness. For he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, God found a way to remain just. He did not ignore our sin. He punished it fully in Christ Jesus. But he also found a way to justify us. To justify us means to declare that we are not guilty. And that also was in Christ Jesus. So in Christ Jesus going to the cross, justice was satisfied. And after that justice was satisfied, now the grace of God could be released. And that is why Our salvation is by grace. The Bible says, by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. And I close with this, showing you the release of grace that took place on that cross. So sin was punished. The demand of justice was satisfied. But after that had taken place, now God could display and release his grace unto us. And the Bible says in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, grace, to define it, and I close, is the free and merited favor of God toward the undeserving and the ill-deserving. I'll say that again. Grace is the free and merited favor of God toward the undeserving and the ill-deserving. I'll explain the difference to you. Undeserving and ill-deserving. And I close with this. By the grace of God, I believe that one day, we will set up a school. All right? Yes. I believe that we will set up a school. We will have a mission school. What should we call it? Restoration Academy. Sounds cool. Or Shepherd's Fold College. We will decide on the name. Now, imagine that we set up the school, Restoration College. And then we decide that we are going to give scholarship every year to the two best students. Okay. Then, when the time came for the scholarship, we chose two people. The first person, Muchu Mudu. The second person, Atre. But everybody was angry that we gave the scholarship to Muchu Mudu and Atre. Why? Muchu Mudu, he's humble, obedient, helpful, responsible, but he's an average student. So when we give the scholarship to him, we'll say that he is undeserving, because the qualification for the scholarship is that you must be one of the two best students. But because he is humble, responsible, always dresses well, when we go for dinner, he just eats one plate. The way we will feel about him is that he's undeserving of the scholarship. Now, Ake, very quarrelsome, very disrespectful. Every trouble that takes place in the school, Akeyemi. Besides all of that, usually she's last in her class. So in the case of Ake, we will not even say she's undeserving. We will say it is ill-deserved. I mean, it's like it's so wild. It's the greatest demonstration of injustice to give the award, the scholarship to Ake. But when it comes to Muchu Mudu, it's like he's not a bad boy. Yeah, we are managing. So that's the difference between undeserved and ill-deserved. Now, this is the amazing thing about the grace of God. When the demand of justice was satisfied, God now released his grace, which is the free, unmerited favor of God. But here is the thing, that's what makes it wonderful. He made it available for both the undeserving and the ill-deserving. That's what makes it wonderful. So sometimes you look at somebody who has done baddest. Yet if that person comes to Jesus and takes advantage of the price that Jesus paid and his atoning work on the cross and receives Jesus as Lord and Savior, the gift of salvation that comes through the grace of God is extended to the person. In the same way, and maybe there are some of you like that, as I was telling you my story of the Nkulenu orange squash adventure, maybe you were saying in your head that, oh, me, I have never done anything like that before. Like Pastor Elvis. Very correct guy. Yes. But you see, the thing is that you are like Muchu Mudu. You are guilty. Because it's not the size of the sin. It is the fact that it is sin. And the wages of sin is death. So even to the undeserving, he makes his grace available. So the ill-deserved gets the grace. The undeserving also gets the grace. So that at the end of the day, all we can say is, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught me. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear and praise. My fears relieved. I first believe. I like this verse. Through many dangers, torn and snares, I have already come. Sing praise God, 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 praise God.
God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God.
Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every one of us has a choice. You have a choice to allow Jesus to take your punishment, or you take it yourself. You have a choice for the punishment for your sins to be placed on you, or to accept what Jesus did to carry your punishment for you. You have a choice, and there's no neutral ground. You have to decide. Today, I want to give you an opportunity, and everybody rise to your feet. I want to give you an opportunity to surrender your life to Jesus. What better day in the year to do so than Good Friday, which is the day that marks his crucifixion, his burial, and marks his passion, the suffering that he went into. And as every head is bowed, every eye closed, I want to ask you, my friend, have you received Jesus as Lord and Savior? If you haven't, today, after everything that you've heard, the wisest thing you can do is to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You may be watching me, and right where you are, God can see you. It's time to take that decision for the Lord. And I want to pray with you. As every head is bowed, every eye closed, you want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Wherever you are, can you lift up your right hand? And I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. Or you want to say, I want to rededicate my life to Jesus after everything that I've heard. I realize that I've not been serious with him. I want to rededicate my life to him. Can you lift up your right hand where you are? And if you are watching me, you can lift your hand right where you are. I can't see you, but God can see you. And together, I want us to pray this prayer. Say, dear Lord Jesus, today I come to you just as I am. I want to thank you for dying for me, for paying the price for my sin. Thank you, Jesus, that you did not only do that, but you presented me with an opportunity to be saved and to receive pardon. And so today, I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and my personal Savior. Let your blood wash me from every sin. Save me and write my name in the book of life. I believe in you. You are the Son of God. You came to die for me. You rose again on the third day. You are alive forevermore. I thank you, Jesus, for doing this for me. For the rest of my life, I will serve you. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus, your only begotten Son. I thank you. And in the name of Jesus, have I prayed with thanksgiving. Amen and amen. Give Jesus a big hand clap, my friends.
Like a father feeds his children.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.